ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam.
I know it's not polite to chew gum while you're on the radio.
You can chew. You, Wendy, you've been in this business a long time. You, if anyone has earned the right to chew gum during the bonus hour, it's you. Are you going to blow bubbles during the bonus hour?
Yeah, but the double bubble, the flavor only lasts about 4 minutes, so this was perfect timing during the news, and now I can just spit it out.
Wouldn't you say that that is the case with almost all gum?
Yep.
That it really is very delicious for 4 minutes, and then it's just not.
It isn't. I mean, I know there are some musicians. Dave Grohl chews gum while he sings.
Does he really?
When he fights Foo, he also chews gum.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst performing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised to hear that.
Me too.
There used to be some gum. I don't know what it was. It was a very sour gum. And boy, was it good for 4 minutes.
Bub's Daddy. Do you remember that
long? I used to have Bub's Daddy.
Sour apple was very good when I was a child.
Delicious. What did Bub's mommy ever do? Bub's Daddy was famous for his gum, but his mommy got no recognition whatsoever.
Well, that's why Bub's Daddy is no longer, because Bub's mom filed a suit.
Yeah. Yep. Sued him.
Took all his money and his gum.
Right. Yeah, it's very sad. One of the saddest lawsuits in all of the Bubble Kingdom. Bubblegum Kingdom. Can I tell you a story from... I was reminded of this while Eric Zorn was on, but I'll be honest, I think the story paints me in a very poor light, so I didn't want to tell it on the regular radio show, but I thought on here, where people already know I'm a scoundrel, it's okay.
That's a great word. All right, well, do tell. Now I'm excited.
On Friday night, my wife and I went to see a play, and then after the play, we went out to dinner. It was a very very uptown-y atmosphere for my wife and I on Friday. We went to see a play, then we went out to this nice restaurant. So we're outside, and this guy is I have to explain where we were sitting in this outdoor section of the restaurant. So they have the regular restaurant set back from the sidewalk, and then they have turned the front into like a sidewalk cafe that is open this time of year when it's warm. So we're sitting on the outermost rim of this restaurant, right? Nearest to the sidewalk, but there's kind of
an iron
gate.
Fence, yeah.
Yeah. And plants.
Right.
Right. So every table is full, and we're sitting between, there's couples on each side of us, actually two on one side of us and four on the other. And then a guy comes out of the restaurant, and he's got a drink, and he's got not just a cigarette, like a big honking cigarette.
Like a cigar?
It was a cigar, Wendy.
Oh, my God.
Well, I was gonna reveal that later, because
we thought
it was a cigarette, because it had a very...
pungent smell?
Yeah, an aroma that smelled to me like burnt banana leaves and something else. Like, you know how regular cigarettes just smell like you smell it and you go, yeah, it's a cigarette. This looked like a long, affected cigarette. You know what I mean? Like the kind a starlet from the 1950s would have put in a cigarette holder.
Okay,
it was
so
that, but
it was long.
But it was a cigar, but not like, you know how when
Cigarillo?
No. You know how, all right, so you know when your great uncle smoked a cigar, it looked like a cigar?
A big fat stogie.
Yeah. This didn't look like this. This looked like almost like French bread. But in cigarette form, but it was wider than a...
What are you talking about?
It was wider than a cigarette. It was a cigar, but I didn't... Because I'm not a smoker, I couldn't identify the exact type. I just knew it was very, very pungent. Like,
It got your attention. Yeah, cigar
smoke. It totally got your attention.
It has more pungency than cigarette
smoke.
Yes,
by far.
A cigarillo is just kind of like, it's like a thinner cigar.
Is it a crossbreed between a cigar and a cigarette? Is it somewhere in the middle?
I think so.
Is it? I don't know exactly what this was.
Swisher Sweets. I used to smoke those. When I tried to quit smoking cigarettes, I started smoking cigars.
Yeah.
And it looks like a fat, thinner cigar.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But that didn't smell. This smelled like banana leaves and...
Was it Donovan and Mellow Yellow smoking?
No. I would have recognized Donovan. So this guy comes out of the restaurant, and he's got a drink in one hand and this... cigarette, cigar, well, I don't know. So he comes out and he positions himself between our table and the couple next to us.
Was he on the other side of the exterior gate?
He was on the other side, but we were separated about a foot and a half.
Right. But public sidewalk.
Public sidewalk.
Felt like...
So he's not just smoking, but he's smoking facing our table and the table of the couple next to us, and he's smoking it big.
Should have gone a block down the road.
Lots of cigarette smoke or cigar smoke.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you because I have issues with this.
Sure.
He should not, the restaurant shouldn't let him leave the premises with a drink.
Right.
That's a problem.
I agree.
So I think that he had a drink. He wanted to stay close to the premises.
I agree. The couple closest to him are obviously upset by this. And just because of the way the wind blew, it's all coming at our table.
Oh, God.
They're upset because he's just there being a jerk, smoking this thing. And we're upset because we're getting the brunt of it. And it, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It really smelled god-awful. It was horrible.
And if you're eating, that's not what you want to smell.
Right. When our food comes, like they were already eating, but when our food comes, Terry says to our waiter, could you ask that guy to smoke somewhere else? And he goes, what's the problem? And she goes, well, you can smell the problem. And he nods and he goes, no, you're right. So he goes over to a manager, the woman who is the manager, and whispers something to her. And then she goes over and says to him, sir, I'm going to need you to slide over. You're really close to the tables, and we're getting some complaints. To which he says, who's complaining? And she points at me.
Oh, my God.
Right, which I would have done differently.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would have set a couple of tables, actually.
Yes. Well, it was so obvious because he was so close to us and the other table that it was one or the other of the two of us.
She pointed you out.
She goes, it was these people. Right. Right. And it's me. So I look at him and I go, you got to be honest, sir. I go, that is a very pungent cigarette. And he goes, actually, it's a cigar. And I go, all right, whatever it is.
Regardless.
You notice that. I said, and our food just arrived and I want to taste my food. I don't want to taste your cigar. So he goes, what do you suspect I should do? And I go, I think you should move somewhere where it's not bothering us. Then I will. So he moves to the other side of our table and he stares at me. And he just keeps puffing and staring at me. So I say to the manager, I know this is going to stop soon, right? And she goes, yes. So she walks over to him and she goes, come with me. And she whispers something to him or says it very quietly. And he nods and he goes, well, I have purchased a drink from your establishment. He's like from another era. So he goes, and I believe I have the right on a public sidewalk to smoke wherever and whenever I want.
But he's not supposed to bring the drink on the public sidewalk.
Right. So he keeps doing that, and I'm just staring at him, and he's staring back at me.
And you're not enjoying your meal.
No, it's horrible at that point. So Terry says, just ignore him. And he just keeps smiling at me because he's got the right to smoke, right? So I go, I will ignore him. I just need to say something to him. So I say to him, you picked the wrong day to be rude to me. I go, on any other day, I'd be okay, but this has not been a good day for me, and I don't need this from you. I go, so you have the right to stand there. And he goes, do you want to hit me? I go, very badly. I go, I'm not going to. It's something I want to do, but it's not going to happen. I go, but really, you're just being a jerk at this point.
He was.
Yeah, yeah. So after a while, one of the guys who works in the restaurant walked over and talked to him, and he moved, and he goes, but I'm not doing anything. I'm just exercising my right to have a smoke. The problem is with these people. And I'm like, oh, God. What? I know I'm not having the best day, but what happened to this guy's day where he really thinks this is a victory for him to stand there and ruin the meals of us and the people at the next table?
Here's the thing. As a smoker, I've smoked in the past. I sometimes smoke a cigar, whatever. When it's outside, you can't just stand right there where people are eating. Maybe you can, Bill, but common sense and manners take over.
Yeah.
And you would excuse yourself from the immediate area of people eating.
Right.
Now, if you're a block down the road, maybe even a half a block, and you're still getting the smoke, in a way, you're kind of, that's too bad for you, Bill, because he tried to walk away.
I guess.
But he made no attempt.
Not only did he make no attempt, he wanted to aggravate it by saying, okay, if you want me to move, I'll move here even closer to them and see what happens, you know? And I got the vibe from this guy that this was a guy who's been involved in this scenario more than once, you know?
Yeah.
This wasn't new territory to him. I could just tell. He was relishing it, like, oh, okay, we're going to play that game. Let's see how deep the game can go. I just didn't need that.
Now, here's where, and I don't know what restaurant it is, and don't say it, and I don't know. First of all, I'm surprised that manager pointed you out. That was
that
wrong.
That was a little surprising.
That was bad.
It's these people right here. They're the ones who complained.
She should have taken one for the team and
right.
said, just...
It doesn't matter who.
Yes, but here, I'm here to tell you. A lot of restaurants that have these little bistro areas, I don't know what you call them, alfresco
yeah.
is what you say.
Yeah.
They will have an ashtray set up on like the other side of the building.
Right.
And then that's where a smoker should go.
I've seen that. I'm fine with that.
And, you know, sometimes you'd feel guilty if you're having a cigarette by... Some places put it by the entrance.
Yes.
And, you know, as a considerate smoker should feel, you feel guilty like when a family with kids is walking, our kids are walking in, and you don't want to have them walk through your cloud of smoke.
Right, right.
But then technically the ashtray is there.
Yeah, I know. I know. There was no winning this one.
So how did you not jump over the fence?
Oh, it was tempting.
And
it was very tempting.
And I'm sure you got indigestion that night because you couldn't even enjoy your meal because you were so angry. I get it.
It's so frustrating. Back when I did stand-up, I was playing at a club once that had horrible ventilation. And I knew, because I'd worked at the club several times, that if people were smoking up front... It was going to get to me.
Yeah.
There was just, there was no ventilation at all. The smoke
and
would just
smoke
hang
rises.
In the air. Yeah.
So you're on the stage up yeah. there, you're getting all of it.
So one of the nights that I was working there, and I'd always say to the door people, if people are smoking when they come in, seat them farther back. It's better for me. And they go, yeah, we can help you out. So there was this lady up front who just kept smoking and smoking. And the there was so much smoke. I kept talking about it. I go, I've never done comedy in London, but I imagine it's like this. And I was just doing all the sound effects of a fog and stuff like that. So I said to her, because my eyes kept tearing up, and I go, I've never asked this of anyone before. Can you please, just for the rest of the show, please stop smoking, please? Absolutely not. I paid money to come in. I can do whatever I want. And again,
to tell
you just
a smoker to stop smoking is sometimes impossible, but maybe if you could, like if she could have gone to the back or something.
Right. There were other options, but at that point, she's like, no, I can do whatever I want. Yes, you can do whatever you want, but isn't it better for everyone if you don't do whatever you want?
Yeah, but you were the only one complaining. That one, I feel
you
like...
You couldn't believe how much smoke...
I believe
like, honestly,
it.
I kept fanning it away so I could see the rest of the audience.
I 100%... these are two different stories. The guy was trying to irk you,
oh,
and it worked.
Oh, absolutely, he was.
This woman, she, you know, she did pay money. She wanted to sit up front. If you don't want to get smoke in your face, maybe you
right.
shouldn't perform at that club again.
Well...
I mean, now,
yeah,
yes.
Right.
Then they allowed smoking, so really...
But she was one of those people who then went out of her way...
To blow it at you?
To smoke big. And I said to her, what is your goal, to have cancer by the end of the show? Is that what you're shooting for? Because you're well on your way. You're almost there.
Well, that's mean, and then I would have just flicked my cigarette at you. If you said that was mean.
Yeah, well, at that point, the only thing you can fight mean with is meaner.
I guess.
You know? There's no other way. So, yeah, what an enjoyable evening it was with this guy.
I'm sorry, because that,
no, that's
what
horrible.
A great night. And
yeah, but, you know.
How was Terry able to kind of put it behind
well,
her?
Well, she's, you know, she's got reason in her.
I know, but here she is with her husband,
yeah.
who's really irritated.
Horribly.
And there's smoke.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a lose-lose for poor Terry. You owe her a redo.
Well, I know. We'll find another night to go out at some point. I don't know when, but we'll go out to dinner another night. But it was my favorite people were the couple at the other table who wanted to act and say something but didn't. And then once the manager pinned the blame on us, they're like, I'm glad we didn't say anything. You could just see it in both of their eyes. Like, wow, we were going to complain before that guy did. It's a good thing we didn't. We would have been singled out.
It's a tough thing, and I mean, a lot of places, you know, don't smoke within 25 feet of the building or
right.
whatever, but restaurants, they want to get people,
sure,
and people
I get that.
Who smoke
yeah.
sometimes want to go outside and have smoke during
right.
courses, in between.
I understand that.
During.
But don't you think that part of the element of that is be responsible and realize who's around you, and if anyone's upset by it, maybe alter your choice?
Yeah.
Right? You would think. If it was the other way around, if I was doing something to irritate somebody nearby, and if somebody said, what you're doing is really horribly irritating, I would go, oh, maybe I should stop doing it.
And it depends on your day, because if somebody said, hey, don't play tennis here because the sound is bugging me, maybe you'd go, Yeah, whatever. It's a free country. I can play tennis and you'd hit the ball harder.
Is it still in a restaurant or is it somewhere else?
I guess it's somewhere else. But I don't
that
know.
That guy, please stop hitting tennis balls on our table. We're trying to enjoy perch and all he keeps doing is hitting us with tennis balls.
Because, I mean, people, here's what I'm saying. People shouldn't tell other people what to do because people should be aware of their surroundings and
you
make the call themselves.
Right. But this guy was relishing the fact that he was in somebody's way.
Yeah.
He was loving that.
Was there an ashtray, like one of those, you know, I don't even know what it looks like. Because then it's the restaurant's fault, too, if they put it there.
There wasn't.
The restaurant needs to put a smoking ashtray, receptacle, whatever it's called now, on the other side where it's not going to affect.
In the alley with the rats.
Well,
you and the rats can enjoy a cigarette.
That's not fair either.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
A cigarillo means small cigars. So some cigarillos are even smaller than cigarettes, which means you can smoke them much more quickly than a standard cigar to make the most of your cigarillo.
Oh.
Because cigars, I haven't smoked like
Who
a
Who said
big...
that in Patton?
No, I looked it up.
Whenever I think of George Patton, he's always got a, like he would buy cigars that were already half smoked, so it looked like he was already halfway done.
People who smoke cigars truly enjoy it, and it's kind of a commitment. It's like a half hour or something.
Sure.
So a cigarillo gives you the same kind of enjoyment, but in half, like a quarter of the time.
Do you remember those shops that they used to have in malls called the Tinderbox?
Yeah.
Right. So every year at Christmas or my dad's birthday, we would always get him a gift from the Tinderbox. Not that he was a smoker, but they also had gift items. Like, remember those Marx Brothers that were 11 inches tall with elongated heads?
Yes, I was going to say W.C. Fields because they had one of him,
We got Charlie Chaplin. We got W.C. Fields. All right. So whenever I would go into the Tinderbox to shop for things for my dad, my clothes would smell like cigars for the next 8 months.
Yeah.
That Tinderbox, I don't think you could, if you closed a Tinderbox in a mall, you couldn't put a new shop in there because you would always smell like cigars.
Yes.
It's just forever.
Although, they're, like, I like the smell of cigars before they're lit. Like, if you walk in and you smell the tobacco, because I would go, when I worked at the Gap at North Riverside Park Mall.
Especially for you?
Yes.
Do-do-do-do. North Riverside Park. Do-do-do-do.
Especially for you. I worked at the Gap, and I would go on my break to buy cigarettes at the Tinderbox. And let me tell you, they were like twice the price of like going to an Osco or whatever.
Sure, I'm positive.
And I would get the little, it was not a match book. It was a little, like, remember the Ohio Blue Tips? This was a miniature version.
Oh.
And it would say the Tinderbox on it.
Oh.
And just walking in, I loved the smell of tobacco in the morning.
Oh, they had plenty of it there.
But when it wasn't lit, it was almost like, this is like potpourri.
Yeah. You know what else they had an incredible array of at the Tinderbox? I don't even think this is a thing anymore, but if you go back in time 25 or 30 years and went to a Tinderbox, you couldn't believe the array. All right, so they were desk calendars, but it was a series of cubes.
Oh, yeah.
And one cube had the day and the other had the day of the month, and you could just move it around.
Like blocks.
Right. Does anyone have that anymore? That was such a thing back then.
Do you want one? I'll find one for you on eBay.
No, because now anyone has to do is look at their phone, and you have all your information right there in a second. But back then, I guess if you're an executive, the first thing you need to do in the morning when you got in your office was arrange the cubes so that it would say the day, the week, the month, the year, all your information was right there.
An executive's desk, and you could correct me if I'm wrong because I've never been an executive, so I don't know how
what
it
do
works.
I know?
If I was one,
yeah.
I would just have cool stuff on my desk.
Like what? What sort of thing?
Well, back then, that was very popular, those cubist calendars.
Would you have the thing where it's five metal marbles and you let one go and it knocks
damn
the other?
Damn straight.
Oh, why wouldn't you have that?
I think that comes with the executive kit. I think you get that.
It's the first thing they give you.
But you just want something cool to be on your desk. Like if you had a desk... Well, we both have desks, but I mean, like, where someone would actually come sit at our desk with, like, a name tag for us. You would, I'm sure, have a strategic amount of action figures that meant a lot to you.
I would have that, but when I was a kid and I thought about, like, if someday I'll be an executive, and then I would just laugh a lot because I knew that wasn't going to happen. But I would have... You know how almost every executive has a picture with his wife in one frame, and then there's another one that has a picture of a couple of kids, his kids in the other? I would do that, but that wouldn't be my wife or my kids. I think it'd just be funny to have somebody, some woman's picture there who was not my wife, who I didn't even know, and two or three kids. And then when people would comment on them, I'd go, yeah, I don't know who that was that was here when I got here. So I have
that. That's funny. But see, there's something that is a conversation piece.
Yeah, I guess. Is that your wife, Terry? No, it's a woman named Barbara. I don't know who she is. It was just, it's always been here. I didn't know if I should move it.
But yeah, Tinderbox did have a wide array of goofy things.
A lot
things.
Of those.
It was the high-end Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah, for smokers. It was Spencer's Gifts for cigar smokers. All right, we'll take a break, and then Ryan Burrell will come by. Won't that be nice?
Yep.
Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. We have not talked about the Emmy Awards.
No.
We've been jam-packed today.
Can I, because I certainly do want to talk about last night's Emmy Awards, but I'm just curious. Ryan covered the Schomburg story, the Woodfield Mall story the other day. What do we know now? Do we know much more now than we know from Friday?
No, not from Friday evening when they held that press conference. We know a 22-year-old man got into an SUV, crashed it through the window at Sears, and then somehow ended up in kind of that the concourse area where Rainforest Cafe is and where Sears is. We saw some of the video. The car appears to drive around a couple times, knocking into kiosks. And really, who doesn't want to knock into kiosks sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And eventually crashing into what appeared to be some kind of brick wall. Some of the facade falls down, and then that person was apprehended. There were numerous calls that there was an active shooter, which, you know, sometimes you got to take that with a grain of salt. People hear a commotion, and they automatically think that that's going on.
That's where our mind goes now.
It is. It is. And unfortunately, when that information gets out there, and we've talked with the police superintendent in Chicago, Eddie Johnson, about that, when someone says active shooter, all of a sudden now you've got to investigate that it's an active shooter, mm-hmm. You know, so because you got to take all the steps, you don't want to miss anything. So that kind of slows down the investigation process a little bit. But no one severely hurt. Three people, minor injuries. They were taken to hospitals, but they weren't hit by the vehicle. So they were either hurt by falling glass or trying to get away from the area. There were four people who were also there, hurt at the scene, but refused treatment.
No clear motive for any of this.
No, we know he was taken to a psychiatric hospital. No charges as of right now. And then the discussion, which we talked about here in the story about, you know, what is the security there at the mall? I mean, what would prevent something like this from happening? You know, I think all of us, our minds went and we jokingly said, you know, hey, it's just like the Blues Brothers, right? You get the car going through the mall. But that's scary. You know, you can't have that at Woodfield. I mean, there could have been a lot of people
there. Well, several people said one of the advantages was that it was a Friday afternoon with school in session, that there would have been times like closer to the holidays where this could have been a horrible
summer were out of school.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I saw the video of that one guy who was behind the car. Everybody was watching this video that was up on Twitter. He tweeted that. And at times it looked like the car was going fast, but people had time to get out of the way. It was not like going 80 miles an hour or anything.
No, it wasn't going fast. And really, I mean, it's so tight in there. Like, I'm actually really interested to know the path of the vehicle inside of Sears, because you think about that when you're walking in through the store, how many obstacles they put in front of you, whether it be, you know, clothing, units or tools or, you know, something in the middle, displays.
Phone cases.
Exactly.
Somebody suggested, I think on Channel 9 television news, I was flipping around a little bit, but somebody suggested that they would have chosen Sears because it had the widest entry aisles and the clearest path to get out of the store. I don't know if that's true or not.
That Sears still has the auto center.
Most of the
Sears don't have auto centers. I don't believe that's where the entrance was. By the time I got there, they had taken everyone out of the mall. They had blocked off all that Woodfield Mall Drive.
Yeah.
They set us up in the media over at Dick's Sporting Goods, which is at the streets of Woodfield, directly across the street, and there's road construction. I got the best angle I could, but the Sears workers in their blue polo shirts were still kind of standing off to the side talking with police. And then obviously the entrance had been closed down, but it had to be a wild scene to see that driving around. It's scary,
very scary.
Friend of the show Pat McGann wasted no time with a joke.
What did Pat McGann say?
I'm trying to find it, but
they say he broke my watch.
No,
wasn't that the line from Blues Brothers?
I think it was.
When the state trooper car is spinning around.
He said something,
I didn't know Sears had a drive-up window or something, drive-through window.
No, this took thought, but it was like within a half an hour of this happening, and it's like, this is my wife using the Waze app trying to get to Nordstrom in a hurry.
That's very funny.
We can say that because nobody got hurt, right? That's right. What we can say.
Yeah, but I didn't know if he knew that nobody got hurt right at first. Yeah. But
well, look, they
and then
they
Saturday
have...
Night Live fired him. Did you hear that, Wendy? He's out.
Sometimes at malls, they do have cars parked in there, right? As display models.
I mean,
they do have that. There is certainly enough space in there for that. I don't know how they get in, but it was wild.
Wow. What a story. All right, so last night, the Emmy Awards, the hostless Emmy Awards, for I think the first time, following after the Academy Awards went without a host. What did you think of the show last night? Did you see all of it?
Yes, I saw it.
In its entirety, 3 hours worth of Emmys?
I fast-forwarded, I stopped to watch Big Brother, and then I went back and finished it, so I watched everything.
Yeah.
It was not very great. At first, I was finding myself going, oh, this hostless thing is kind of good because when celebrities do come out, they have more time to talk and stuff. The announcer really ruined
Thomas
it.
Thomas Lennon?
Who's...
You don't like him?
Reno 911 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. That was lame.
Except, normally when you watch an award show, some of the downtime is the winner getting from seat to microphone.
Right.
So somebody said we need to fill that time because that's just downtime.
How about with funny stuff? How about with not being so rude?
I guess.
You know, like when people were walking up when...
Thomas Lennon?
Saturday Night Live.
Lorne Michaels?
Yes. I kept wanting to call him Norm.
Norm Michaels?
Lorne Michaels. When he was walking up, Tom Lennon was saying, okay, let's see how many people we recognize. Oh, don't know that guy. Don't know that. Know that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was.
It's right, though.
I know he's right, but it was almost like he was mocking the show he was hired to work on.
There was quite a bit of that.
And
I
not
mean,
funny.
One
really.
Of the best bits of the night was Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert admonishing them for not having hosts, which again is you're taking a dick at yourself there.
Yeah.
But I thought that was great. There was a bunch of stuff that I thought was very, very funny. And I was okay with Thomas Lennon. I think he's really funny. The comments didn't always hit right on target. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. The thing to remember with that is they write jokes for every potential winner. No matter who wins, they write a joke for that person. So you're only going to hear 1/7 of the material that's written. So maybe they have a great joke for Tony Shalhoub and he doesn't win. Uh-oh, we'll never hear that joke.
Well, did he write his own stuff? Did somebody write for him? Because it didn't sound like anybody was writing. It sounded very off the cuff. And
I watched the writer's credits, as I always do, after the show. Now, normally, especially with the Academy Awards, but to some extent with the Emmy Awards, you'll see 8 or 10 or 12 writers.
Yeah.
Last night, 4, which is the lowest I've ever seen.
So no host, no writers.
No host, very few
And no
writers.
Ratings.
Oh, did the ratings already come out? I didn't see the ratings.
It's pretty low, isn't it,
was
Ryan?
It?
I think
was
so,
it low?
Yeah.
Bob Newhart, he's still got it, Rich.
He's so funny.
He is hysterical.
Yeah.
90 years old.
Yep.
Not missing a beat. His delivery was awesome.
Yeah, he's just funny. There's
Ben Stiller is totally turning into his dad, Jerry. He's really just starting to look like his dad to me. It's not a bad thing.
No,
it's just...
I know you say that, but to any guy, Ryan, I don't know your dad, but if I said to you, you know who you remind me of a lot? Your dad. That's like the worst thing you can say to a guy.
I hear it a lot.
No guy ever wants to hear that.
I don't mean it as a slam.
Even if your dad was the cool, if your dad was Tom Brady, if your dad was Brad Pitt, no matter who your dad is, a guy just doesn't want to hear that.
I guess. But he's starting to look.
Brian,
like,
you do look like you're. Or you really do.
I know.
Alex Bornstein is that
Borstein?
Her? Borstein.
Yeah.
She. I loved her, and you know we don't have a lot of audio to play. You can just Google it. She did such a great acceptance speech. Mm-hmm. It was moving. Michelle Williams.
She talked about Alex Borstein. Talked about how she is the grandchild of Holocaust survivors, and she told a story, a very, very touching story. I mean. Her speech started out very funny, and then she told the story about her grandmother at one of the concentration camps saying, what do I do if I step, what's going to happen if I step out of line? They were about to kill her, and she said, what happens if I step out of line? And the soldier said, well, I won't kill you, but somebody will, and she did. She stepped out of line and ran away, And she said, so that's a lesson for all of us. Step out of line. What a great speech.
I know. I got goosebumps hearing that again because, wow. You know, don't follow suit. Be your own person.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was Fosse and Verdon. I didn't realize that was Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
Like, they totally transformed her.
Yep.
She had a great little speech about women and being equals and great opportunity to work for a place where you don't feel differently.
Yes.
And Patricia Arquette really had a wonderful speech, too, about missing her sister, Alexi. Is that it? Alexis?
Alexis, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
And that
Alexis Arquette.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
And just trying to be understanding about LGBTQ and give them jobs because they're people, too, was just a very inclusive, awesome thing.
It was. It really was.
Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. You can't go wrong.
I got to tell you this. I said to Jimmy Mack, I said, I just love Dinklage. And he goes, why? And he goes, not? I'm not saying, you right. know, you shouldn't, but right. just give me a reason why. And I said, he's funny. And, you know, and Game of Thrones. And Jim goes, he wasn't funny in Game of Thrones.
No, I don't know that he was.
And I never even watched Game of Thrones except the second to the last episode.
Yeah.
And I said, well, he was on SNL and he was pretty funny. And I watched Between Two Ferns or whatever, the Zach Galifianakis thing, and he was funny in that.
Yes.
I just like him.
The part of his speech that meant the most to me was he was talking about how lucky they are to work in a business that is so inclusive, the, you know, show business.
Diversity,
and
yeah.
he said there's a lot of jobs that I could have taken where I wouldn't have been standing on a stage like this. And, he you know, he's kind of right. I mean, it's a much more inclusive community in show business because people come from so many different types of backgrounds and lifestyles. And I think they just give in a lot more, you know. So, yeah, that was a nice moment of him winning again for Game of Thrones. You know, the biggest surprise was you had Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Am I saying her name? I'm leaving out a syllable somewhere.
Something from...
Not Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
She's from All My Children.
She's from All My Children, and she should have won. I know that the show... I know it hasn't been on in 9 years.
She's long gone.
But she should have won an award last night. I felt very bad about that. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. So she won three... For writing, for starring in, and what was the other one? Best comedy series? Was that what it was? I can't remember what the third one was. Yeah. But just to beat Julia Louis-Dreyfus seemed unheard of, especially with everybody knowing that that was the last time that show could possibly be honored. I was positive, as much as I love the Fleabag show, that Julia Louis-Dreyfus would win, and it wasn't that way.
What is that on? Where can you find Fleabag?
Fleabag? It's
Netflix, isn't it?
It's a Netflix series?
It's about sex addicts, I think.
Oh, okay.
Not sex addicts.
I thought
addicts.
It was Amazon.
It's Amazon,
okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
It's not sex addicts. It's just, it's this girl who...
is loose?
Enjoys her sex. Yeah, you could say she's loose.
I don't...
But she uses it...
As a weapon?
No.
This is...
She uses it to her advantage when she needs to.
Okay. Who doesn't?
But it's also it's also her downfall.
Sure.
It's such a well-layered show. Not just her acting performance, but the writing. There's so much going on that is so bittersweet. It kept getting recommended to me by so many people. Everybody goes, you have got to see that show. And actually, Steve Bertrand is one of the people who goes, believe me when I tell you, it's that good. And it is. It's probably television-wise the best thing I've seen all year. Watched the two seasons.
Do you think that people will go out and get Amazon Prime just for that?
You know, it's funny because there were a couple of shows yesterday that, some that I wasn't aware of at all, and some that they would show clips and I'd say, I really need to see that. There were a couple of those. So I think maybe with all the recognition it got yesterday, that anyone who's on the fence might finally give in and go, I guess it is that good. I really should give it a chance. It's not for everybody. It's one of those shows that I can't recommend to everybody. You'll know an episode or two in if it's going
to
work for you or not.
You told me to watch it, and I haven't seen it yet.
You would so love it.
I got to see it. I'm also surprised to see... I love Ozark, and I'm kind of surprised to see it getting paid off now.
Yeah.
Because it's been on for a while. So the Julia Garner who played Ruth, she was up against everybody from Game of Thrones.
Right.
That was a surprise win, too.
That was a huge surprise. Sometimes I wonder, though, when a show gets three nominees in the same category, if to some extent that doesn't cancel it out.
It's got to,
right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've seen that happen at the Academy Awards, right? Where you've got two people in there and
in the same
to cancel it. Yeah. So Woody Harrelson and wasn't the three billboards or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And that one, I think, and they cancel each other out.
That has happened several times with the supporting actors from Veep. They'll nominate three guys in the same category, and you go, they're all so good. How do you pick one over the others?
It's going to be so hard not to have Veep on with the 2020 election coming up. I mean, it just seems there were so many parallels there that I think would have been fantastic to run with. But
you know what they did that's so brilliant with Veep and the writing of Veep? They never established if she or anybody working for her was Republican or Democrat.
No, they never did.
You know?
And yeah. I think they kind of hinted at some things, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wrote down the variety segment was terrible. I don't know who the guy was singing and dancing.
Oh, that's Adam Devine?
What does he do?
Oh, he's been in a bunch of stuff. Right now, he's in The Righteous Gemstones. He's very funny on that show. He was on Modern Family for a while.
Oh, he was Haley's boyfriend?
Andy, worked for them.
I did not like that. I thought that was terrible.
Did you really?
I really thought that was terrible. And my final comment about the Emmys last night, and if anything, this should have helped the ratings.
Yeah.
John Hamm is so friggin' gorgeous. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
You should all strive to look like him.
Ryan, are you in? I'll try.
We're pretty close.
All right,
we're
close. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I like him.
Shouldn't be much more than we're already doing.
Nip and tuck, I guess.
Did you just discover that last night that John Hamm was handsome?
No, I've always liked him, but he just is really bonus material.
Who should we tell Wendy we want her to look like?
I guess.
I don't think it's going to work, is it? There's
no, it'll work.
There's nothing we can say.
To win that? No. No. You know what was the funniest word of the night?
What? Only from you?
At some point, RuPaul is out there giving an award with Zendaya. And
she's
then
so cute.
He just says her name, but it took 30 seconds to say it. As she's opening the envelope, he just goes, Zendaya! Like that. And it was just like, why would you even do that?
I loved how great she looked. Girls with glasses.
She's stunning.
I mean, just...
Wendy, can you please look more like Zendaya?
Yes. I will wear that dress tomorrow, and I have glasses I can wear, too.
That'll be fantastic. That'll be great. Ryan, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you.
In a little bit, we'll come back, and then we'll say goodbye. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Good night.
We had such a wonderful, wonderful time. I like Bubbles and John Hamm, too. That's my Lord
Welk?
Lawrence Welk.
He sounded a little tipsy.
Want to have some dumplings with me later? Maybe svichkova? It's pickled beef.
Wow. Are you going to do a one-woman show? I hope you are. You've already sold one ticket. If you do that show, I'm buying a ticket immediately.
That's wonderful.
All right, everybody. We.
Ow.
That hurts. You got to be careful. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Today and every day. Greatly appreciated.
Adios, everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen, Wendy. Yeah. All right. We might try to come back tomorrow. We'll see. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.